Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Kane Collects. As always, guys, I appreciate all the support, all the downloads, all the follows, the likes, everything. If you let someone know about the podcast, I appreciate all that. As always, too, you can download it wherever you get your podcasts, Odyssey, Google Play, Amazon, Apple. Wherever you get your podcasts. My next guest is one of the owners of the Collectors Arena. It's a fairly new card shop over in Chesterfield Township over on Gratiot. LB, I've had one of your other co-owners on before. LB, thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, Kang. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I've been to the store a few times. I've been to the card show. They have a card show. If you haven't heard any of the episodes, go back and listen to them. You can catch up on any episode you missed. I've had Roger on before, one of your partners, and you guys actually host a monthly card show at the card shop because you guys have enough space for vendors and things like that. So it's really cool. The next card show you guys have in store is June 14th, 15th, and 16th weekend. And you have a trade night usually that Friday of every card show, right?
Yep. It's a show. So our show, it's a monthly show. Normally it's the second weekend of every month. This month it's the third weekend because the second weekend of this month, it was the Novi Spectacular show, which we attended and set up at. So, but going forward, it's normally the second weekend of every month. And show weekends, that Friday is, we always have a trade night from 6 to 9 p.m. And it's fun.
So, yeah, for any other information on like store hours and show nights and trade nights, just go, you know, they're on Facebook, The Collectors Arena. They're on Instagram, The_collectors_arena. Call the shop. What's the phone number for the shop there, LB?
It's 586-940-5598.
Yeah, and so they can always update you on Instagram, Facebook, or just call the shop for any of that stuff. And and for trade night, I know, LB, you're a big-time collector. We'll get into all your stuff, too. But have you seen some pretty cool stuff come through trade night, some big deals, and you've been involved in some stuff, too?
I've seen some, you know, some big cards come through, some big collectors. I really haven't done like too many trades because I mean, I'm a collector. If I see a card, I want a card, I just go really just buy the card. And then if I do sell some of my cards out of my own collection just to buy more cards, so
to feed the habit. That's
it. Yeah, I do trades, but not too many trades. Maybe once in a great while. So
you mentioned earlier though, this week you moved it to the third weekend of the month instead of normally the second weekend of every month because of the Detroit Sports Spectacular and Novi that we just had. So I went to the show Saturday. I saw you guys there. You guys were set up. Let's give a quick recap from your point of view. It was the first one ever. Hopefully there's going to be another one. I heard so far really good reviews on it. What was your take, LB, on the show?
Yeah, so when I initially showed up and walked in there, I was like, I was pretty impressed. It had like a national feel to it.
Yeah, it was like a little mini national kind of like, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, my first impression was like, wow, I hope that they continue to do this, you know, once a year, by a couple times a year. I was impressed.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I go to a lot of card shows and I visit a lot of local card shops. And a lot of times the card shows are, you know, dealers or part-timers that they're not the card shop owners. So what I liked about this show is like a lot of the card shop owners, you know, came out and set up and it helps get you guys' brand and name out and advertising, but it gets more, you know, cards and sealed wax and things that other people wouldn't have seen across Metro Detroit or the state. So I thought that was good for everybody. And to see you guys out there, I hope you guys did well too. And at the least, you know, got your name out there because you're a newer card shop anyways too.
Yeah. We met we brought a stack of promotional flyers for our show and our shop, and yeah, we gave every single one out. We met a lot of people, sold a lot of cards, we bought a lot of cards, so it was a successful weekend.
Did you, I know you're at the booth, you had a booth and you're vending, but you get a chance to like walk around the complex at all and check out some other tables?
So yeah, not as much as I would like, just because, it was just me and, Roger and I, at our booth, and it was like, so we get there, you know, and Roger is like, you know, jonesing to go walk around and look at cards and buy cards. He's like, all right, man. I'll be back. I'm gonna go walk around. So, as soon as he leaves, you know, then our booth is just gets swarmed with people, and it's tough to man a booth, you know, solo. So when Roger came back, you know, I did walk around, but not as much as I liked.
Yeah, you don't get to like be just a normal buyer and collector, because I know exactly how you feel, LB. I do maybe one or two shows a year. And it's actually me and my brother. You know, we just grab stuff that we just want to kind of move to get into other cards. Like you said earlier, you know, I'm not doing this as a business, of course, but just to, again, I kind of, like I said, move to get into other cards, but I do want to walk around too. But as soon as I leave, I know what my brother's going to call or text me, or someone's going to ask about your cards, things like that. And I trust them and all that, but sometimes they want you there. So, and then it is hard to man a booth by yourself, but then all of a sudden you get that FOMO, like your partner, Roger, and you just want to go around and start going through boxes or looking. And so,
yeah, you want to see what's out there. And, you know, I wanted to walk around too and see a lot of the guys that, you know, I interact with, you know, throughout the year, you know, other shop owners, other, you know, collectors, other flippers, you know, like when we showed up there in the parking lot, I just started seeing all these people that I know, like I knew, and I was like, man, this is going to be a fun show. So
I know how it is. Yeah. Especially, I mean, I was like you, man, you know, I go there and I went with a buddy. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go and look at cards, because that's what I do at the National, at big card shows. I'm going to go through boxes, look at everyone's showcase. And I get in and bam, I know people right off the rip. You know what I mean? And I'm talking to people, how they doing and stuff, and getting approached by other people. And so for me, it looked like a great show, but I didn't get to get into it as much as I wanted to. It sounds like the same thing happened with you, where I'm so shocked. I left this show. I didn't buy one single. You know what I mean? I ended up buying some wax for a buddy of mine, but I sold a couple big cards, and I didn't buy a single. I was kind of upset about that a little bit. I didn't pick up anything to add to my Jordan PC, and I was really looking for something for that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Roger, he first hour, you know, he bought a Jordan like the first hour. He comes back on, like I said, I'm trying to man the booth, help customers, and he's like, hey man, look at this Jordan I picked up. What do you think? Should I traded? I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, yeah, looks great, go submit it.
So the thing is, LB, you got a good eye though. So Roger goes to you and he's like, should I grade this? Because I've seen some of your PC and your collecting, and you bought raw cards, you bought graded cards, but the raw stuff you go and you decide to grade a lot is they come back nines and tens, which is you know, that's the goal, you know what I mean? Like, and I you got a good eye. The thing about your partner Rogers, I feel like when I talk to him, he feels like every card is a 10. Like, I'm like Roger, I know it may look nice, but I mean, this is, you know, eights come back all the time. You know,
I mean, he's probably gonna kill me for saying this, but just today, just like an hour ago, he calls me and he's like, hey man, he goes, I want you to send in another card for me for BGS. You know, he goes, it's a Jordan card. And he goes, you know, I sent it to PSA, it came back an 8. I sent it to SGC, it came back an 8. I'm like, well, Roger, it's probably an 8 then. Well, you know, have really good luck with BGS. Yeah, I just want to give it another try with BGS. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's the vibe I get from Roger every time I talk to him. He's always like, this looks like a 9 and 10 to me. And I'm like, I don't know, Roger.
But sometimes, I mean, you know, Roger and I, we've been, grading cards, for a long time. I remember when I first sent my first submission, and it was back in, 2011. So, you know, I've been, you know, grading cards for a little bit. So, sometimes you just got to trust your eye. You know, you send a card in to PSA and it'll come back, you know, a seven, and you're just like, a seven, there's no way that this card is a seven. You know, I'm gonna try it again, or I'm gonna try it to SGC or Beckett. And I mean, it's just my experience, more time than not, you know, I'm successful. I just, you know, I trust myself, I trust my eye. So
yeah, so I mean, you, like you said, you've been doing this a while, you've been sending in cards for a while. When you like prep a card a little bit, you know, wipe it down, check the corners, how vigorous are you when you're looking over a card before you send it in? So I like to the average collector, you know, right now, where they just want to do their own personal submission, like, are you breaking out the jeweler's, you know, my, you know, magnifying glass, or like, what are you doing? Are you just eyeballing this thing with LED light?
Yeah, pretty much. That's just it. I don't use no magnification or nothing. I just, well, you know, first you look at the card, you know, you look at the centering right off the, you know, the first thing, and then, you know, corners, you know, edges, and then just the surface. You know, I just get a light and just kind of tilt the card and look at it. Make sure you look at the back too. I know a lot of guys don't really look at the back, but a lot of times, you know, if you're buying, not a lot of times, but it has happened quite a few times where, you know, you're buying a raw card on eBay or something, or at a show, and you're like, man, this thing looks really good. You know, surface looks good, but then on the back, it might have like a, you know, an indent, and then you send it into PSA and it comes back a six, and you're like, a six, this card is mint, you know? And then you look at the back and there's like a dent, you know, like a thumbnail indent on the back or something like that. So.
And so is this like, what makes you decide to send a card in? Because are you thinking, all right, I'm only sending cards in that I think can gem, or are you like playing the math game? Okay, if it comes back even an eight, I get, it's worth the value of the $20 or $25, you know, send in.
Well, for my personal collection, I just like to have all my cards graded. And I like to collect, you know, rarer cards, bigger cards. I want tens. But if it's a really rare card and you could only take what you can get, you know, sometimes I'm happy with an eight, you know, it comes back a seven, you know. I have a LeBron James, you know, RPA rookie card. And it's numbered out of 100, and it came back a seven, and it's just like, you know, I'm happy with it, because, you know, it's a rare card. And so, yeah, but most of the time, yeah, I want tens. Yeah. And sometimes, yeah, you know, I'm doing the math game as well too. But like I said, for the most part, most of the cards I collect are bigger cards. So I just want the card protected and encased. And and if I'm going to buy a raw copy, I obviously try to buy the best example of a raw copy I can before.
Yeah, so for you, it's like worth the quote-unquote premium, you know what I mean? Because like, anybody can price any raw card they want, right? And it's kind of based on condition, but you'll pay more if you think this card is more pristine than the other raw copy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, you got some big cards, man. You got some monster cards, and not only do you like grade them because trying to get the better value, but authenticating them too as well. You know, just like, people unfortunately have done fakes, and things come from China or wherever, you know, and you don't know, like the Wemby stuff. I mean, you haven't heard people. There was apparently a huge, you know, fake Wemby Prism cards that were coming over, yeah, that were base cards, and
yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, so I just, you know, so when I go to sell cards too, it's just a lot easier to sell the card if it's already graded, especially if you're going to sell it on eBay or something, or sell to someone on Instagram or Facebook. You know, you take a picture of the front, you take a picture of the back. The market value for a 10 is this, a market value for a nine is this. You know, you try selling a raw card, you know, you got to take, you know, at least, you know, 10 pictures, you know, close up pictures. You know, Kang may think the card is gem mint, you know, I think it's near mint, you know.
LB thinks it's like a eight, Roger thinks it's a 10 plus. I mean, we don't know.
pristine, you know. So, yeah. And then, I just, ever since when I first got back into collecting back in like 2010, like 2009, 2010. It was, I remember, because it was Matt Stafford, like, you know, his rookie year. And, you know, I was doing a lot of ripping, you know, buying boxes and ripping. And then I became familiar with graded cards. I bought a few graded cards. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this. I'm going to try sending in some cards myself. And I always graded with Beckett. I just, that's what I knew. Beckett was like number one back then. PSA was like number two. So like for the first like 6-7 years, I just sent all my cards to Beckett. And then PSA slowly but surely, you know, crept up and took over the number one spot. I think that happened like during COVID personally, but yeah. So
yeah, even though PSA was the first grading company, people had trusted Beckett. I think because the magazines, you know, when you're younger, that's, everyone used Beckett as the, hey, this is what my card's worth. That's what it says in this, you know, magazine. And kind of before people got familiar with eBay comps and things like that, that was what people used. So I think Beckett seemed like the trusted, but you're right. I mean, PSA's clearly surpassed them and everybody else as far as return on investment. Now, if you were just PCing and you prefer a Beckett slab, grade with Beckett. If you prefer SGC slab, grade with them. You know, if you're just going to keep it for your collection, that's fine. But I think we all know as a community, PSA gets the highest return on value if you're trying to flip or invest or sell.
Yeah, me personally, I always try to, you know, I always send in the PSA first. But me personally, I like the Beckett slab better. I like the sturdiness of it. I like the, you know, the gold label. I like the subgrades. I think it's really fun. I think it's fun when you have a submission pop and you're like, oh, and you go see what your grades are. And let's just say, you know, you send in five cards and they're all 9.5s. So then you're like, oh, well, let's see what the subgrades are. You know, is it a min gem? Is it a true gem? Is it a true gem plus? You know, oh, I'm a half a point away from a pristine 10.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
And also, it's some transparency there. They let you know what they saw. You know what I mean? With PSA, if it comes back a 7, you're like, all right, no way this is a 7, but you have no idea why it's not not an 8 or a 9. But at least with BGS, they kind of try to tell you, like, hey, the edges were bad on this, or it's pretty off center, you know, and you didn't realize what the center was supposed to be or something, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, so I agree with that. I actually kind of prefer the BGS slab, so I know it's like faux pas to say now. Everyone's, I mean, really crapping on BGS for the last few years, and rightfully so in many aspects. But I, as far as just a slab, the look of it, I actually prefer it. For my PC too.
I think if they just put a little bit more effort into like their social media, their customer service, you know, I think they could, you know, they could make a comeback. Because I mean, I don't think there's a difference between graders that are grading over at Beckett and PSA. It's just the brand, you know. So
yeah. With that being said too, though, you know, as well as I do, like the return on investment is just better on PSA. So that's why you always, I'm assuming that's why you send a PSA first too. I mean, just,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So people, yep. Like I mentioned this a couple of times, LB, big, good collector, man. He's got some really cool monster cards. They're graded by PSA usually. Can you tell people your Instagram so they can check out some of your cards? And maybe even if you're ever looking to move any of them, they can find you.
Yep. That's On Point Collecting. So it's On_point_collecting.
And yeah, check him out on Instagram, people. He's posting, like, I'm talking gem mint Wemby rookies, Juan Soto gem mint cards, you know, like just big time, huge cards. I don't know how, I guess once you get rolling, you can start, you know, getting into more bigger cards. You don't have to be a millionaire to obtain these cards, but you have to start somewhere. And so, and that's what you kind of did, right?
That's exactly what I did. I remember the first time I spent $100 on a card. It was like a 54 Hank Aaron, a Beckett 3. And I was like, I cannot believe I'm about to spend $100 on a card. This is crazy, you know? And then I remember the first time I spent $400 on a card. It was a Mike Trout prospect auto card. And then you remember, you know, oh my God, I'm about to spend $1,000. And, you know, you slowly, you know, start, you know, acquiring this, you know, collection. And, you know, like I like to hold my cards for a little bit. I've always found it's, you know, best. I've always got the biggest returns on cards that I've held for years. And then, you know, you just slowly but surely, you know, just build up this collection. Before you know it, you know, you look back and you have this, you know, phenomenal collection. So
I love your approach, LB, because you're not just this instant flipper. And I know we've talked on the podcast many times before. It has become a business now, which is good and bad to me. I wish it wasn't as big of a business because I'm a just true collector at heart, but also it does make my collection more valuable, the fact that it's become more business-like. But you, patience is key, people. You hear, like, you've held on to cards and they've actually grown, and then it's a marathon, not necessarily a sprint. You don't have to immediately flip every card that you get. And like I said, you've got some monster cards that probably weren't monster cards when you got them, but now you've acquired enough capital to acquire bigger cards.
Yeah. I mean, my first submission ever, it was a Steph Curry class Donruss Classics rookie. It's autoed, on-card auto, numbered out of, I think those are numbered out of 299. I bought that card for like $30, you know, sent it to Beckett, you know, got a 9.5, and just held on to it. Now it's, you know, it's worth thousands. You know, it's, yeah, I just always thought that that was the best approach. If you believe in the player, if you like the player, you know, you invest into the player, and, you know, you just hold on to the cards, and hopefully that player performs, and your cards will grow as well.
Yeah. And so you mentioned before, like, at one point you couldn't believe you were actually going to spend $100 on a card. And same thing with me. I'm like, man, do I really want to spend $50 or $100 on this card? You know, and then years later, you're like, you were telling me this great story a few weeks ago. Like, I think you're out, I don't know if you're a soccer game or somewhere, and someone calls you on the phone. It's like, hey, I got this shot. You know, I could pick up this Wemby for you. I think it was a Wemby card or something for like $2,000 or $3,000. And you're like thinking about it because it's actually a good deal for what the card might be actually worth. And now you're like, I'm going to spend $3,000 on a card. You know what I mean? And then, yeah, and then grade it, and hopefully it's worth even more than that. Right.
Yep. So yeah, that was the, yeah, it was the Wemby Prism, the True Red out of 299. It was already a PSA 10. So I wasn't really in the market for any Wemby cards because he was so hot. And then our last show that we were at, that we had at our shop, it was Saturday night, you know, it's just me and Roger left and one vendor, and I'm just trying to get out of there. You know, I'm cleaning up the joint, and, you know, Roger is just, you know, he's BSing, you know, with the other vendor, and I just want to get out of here. And Roger's like, hey, man, you got to check out this Wemby this guy's got, man. So I go look at it. It's the True Purple out of 99. And it's, yeah, it's raw. And I'm like, well, how much do you want for it? And he's like, he goes, I want 3,000 or, you know, 2,500 and a $500 card. Yeah. I'm like, okay. So I go, well, maybe we'll work something out tomorrow. So on my way home, I had no idea what the market value was for that card. So I'm looking on eBay and I'm seeing them sell for like, you know, close to like 4,000 raw. I'm like, man, 3,000 is a pretty good deal. So I get up to cash, and, you know, Sunday morning, I'm ready to make the deal. And the other vendor comes in and I'm like, hey, man, what's up? And he's got this look on his face, you know, and I'm just like, what's up? He's like, yeah, man. He goes, you know, I went home last night and I put the card on eBay just, you know, for $5,000 or best offer just to see what would happen. And he goes, I started getting offers right away. So someone offered me $4,300 and I accepted and they paid right away. You know, shows me the sale and how much he was netting. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, no deal. You know, I go, I'll just, you know, I'll find something else. He's like, yeah, well, you know, I'll sell it to you. I go, well, you will? He goes, yeah, I'll cancel it. Yeah. I go, you would do that? He's like, yeah. He goes, you know, then that way I don't have to pay, you know, mess with taxes and whatnot. And, you know, I can get the cash right now. So we work out a deal, you know, I give him the 3,000. I give him a Chet Holmgren, a Donruss Optic, Black Velocity, PSA 10, and the card's raw. And so I show Roger. Roger's like, you bought that? He's like, it's got issues. I go, it's got issues.
Wow, really?
I go, I looked that card up and down. I go, that card is there, man. It's there. It's gonna, like, it's got surface issues. And it had some very, very little light, like scratches up in the corner, very light, but the rest of the card was just there. So I sent it in the PSA at the, like the $250 level. And then like, you know, a week and a half goes by, and then I get an email from PSA, and they're like, yeah, this card is not, you know, it's not adequate for the $250 level, you know, and it gemmed. So
dude, that's the email you want.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So that was awesome. So that was like my first Wemby. And then it was like the next day I was at my niece's soccer game, and then a buddy calls me up and he's like, dude, I have an opportunity to get this other Wemby, the True Red. And he's like, you know, he goes, how much will you pay me for it? And, you know, so I look and I see what they're selling for. And I made him a fair offer, but it was a good offer. It was a good deal for me, you know. Yeah. It was a good deal for him. So now I have two Wembys when I wasn't in a market for Wembys.
Was that Wemby raw or a gem too?
That one was already graded. The red. Yeah.
So all of a sudden, yeah, you never know what you're going to run into. Like, you weren't in the market for Wembys, but now you have two of the better Wembys, you know?
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's fun. So now, you know, I'm a fan of Wemby.
But like, so let's talk. What do you think? I mean, what's the ceiling for Wemby? Has he already hit it? Now that's a player, just as a card market, can he get even, I know he hasn't done anything but rookie of the year right now, but, and they have, maybe, you know, he starts winning, but even if he starts winning and they make the playoffs, how much more room does this card have to grow?
Man, I mean,
it's already high as it is.
Yeah, high, but you know, I think it could grow more. And you know, and sometimes, you know, it's just fun for me. It's fun watching the players, watching the games, knowing that I have a piece of that player. You know, it's not always about, you know, I mean, of course you want your cards to be valuable, but I just like, that's just how I always been. You know, I watch the Tiger game, you know, I want to get some of the Tigers, the guys' cards. You know, I watch, you know, watch basketball games. You know, I want to get some of LeBron's cards. I want to get some Wemby cards, because it just makes it that much more fun. You know, when, yeah, I watch, or when I watch the highlights in the morning while I'm drinking my coffee, you know.
So, yeah, it's like owning it's like watching your stock play or something like that. Weird, yeah, in a way. Like,
yeah, that's what I tell my buddies that, you know, want to get into it. I'm like, it's, you know, it's pretty much like stocks, but with sports, you know.
And you get to physically hold it too, which is kind of cool. It's like you literally holding something where, you know, it's, yep, just not, yep, thin air, I guess.
Yep. So it's fun. Yeah. I tell people, you know, I believe this is like the greatest hobby in the world, you know? So it's definitely the funnest. It's, you know, it's really one of the few hobbies that, you know, you can make money at, you know, your hobby may be golf or fishing or whatever, but you're constantly dumping money into that, you know? So,
yeah, no, I love it. So like, how do you determine, LB, where you start prospecting, or you just buy like goats, or, you know what I mean, that are established stars? Like, what's your approach in that?
So I usually like to wait at least, you know, until the player gets, you know, at least 1 year, you know, comfortably, you know, a couple years, 2 to 3 years into the league, you know, and then I, you know, I feel comfortable, you know, buying their cards. But, that's pretty much my approach. Yeah.
So as we're taping,
Fantasy Freaks and Geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this right now, Trevor Lawrence has just signed a huge contract extension with the Jaguars. Okay, he's going to be tied with Joe Burrow for the most annual average per year for a quarterback, $55 million. Well, for a player, I guess, doesn't even matter because quarterbacks get paid the most. What do you think that does to his cards? Does it make him go up, make him go down? Does it make him stay the same? Because he's still the same player, but now he's a huge contract and actually probably more pressure to to, you know, finally take them far in the playoffs?
Right. You know, I haven't really been tracking, you know, Trevor Lawrence's market, you know, since the news broke, but I would guess that there was probably a little bit of a bump. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, the guys need to perform, you know. So if they don't perform, then neither does his prices. So,
well, speaking of a guy who's already, but I mean, he's seen a crazy bounce. And another guy, I'm not sure how high the ceiling can even go as far as hobby wise, is CJ Stroud, sticking with football here. I mean, his cards are through the roof. There used to be an off season. There used to be a downtime in the hobby. I don't know if there is anymore. I feel like it's going almost all year round. Like, but right now would be the downtime, I guess you would say. Do you think his cards will go up even more right before the season starts, or do you think they're just going to stay the same?
I think there'll be a, you know, a bump. You know, I'm guilty of it too. You know, season ready to pop off, and dude, you're just feeling that you're feeling it, and you wanna, you know, you wanna buy cards. You know, so but yeah, NFL is like, yeah, like it seems like it's, especially the NFL, it's all year long. You know, at the Detroit Spectacular Show, it was a lot of football.
So I was just going to talk to you about this. I've talked to a lot of dealers, a lot of collectors. They say football is just nonstop. They can't keep it on the shelves. They can't keep it in their showcase. How was your experience at the Detroit Sports Spectacular with that? How's your experience at the shop with that? Like, are just people nonstop asking for football?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, football goes on the shelves. It goes right off the shelves. Yeah, you know, especially like, you know, as far as singles, you know, do you have any downtowns? Do you have any kabooms? Do you have any, you know, stained glass, any, you know, inserts? Yeah, it's just
like, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Football.
Have you ever seen your experience with collecting, have you ever seen anything as liquid as downtowns and kabooms? Like, seriously, you're right about that. That's all I've heard people literally just ask that question. Do you have any downtowns and kabooms?
I mean, no. I mean, that's, you know, those are, no, I haven't really, you know, not, you know, maybe a few years ago, you know, gold prisms, you know, those were really hot, but it just seems like lately, you know, like the downtowns, the kabooms, those seem like really hot, you know.
It almost doesn't even matter what player, like, it's just those, you can move them at any time you want to, right?
Yep. Yeah, I know. I just, you know, speaking of CJ Stroud, I just picked up one of his downtown rookies. So, yeah. So I'm amping up for the NFL season.
The energy. You want to get part of the action, you know. Yeah. I saw a cool story, though, for people that don't know. You guys will do live breaks and things like that during the shows and stuff. But also you sell, of course, sealed wax. Some a kid or a customer, one of your last shows opens up a down and pulls a downtown Anthony Richardson right in the shop.
Yeah, so we had the optic. We had a couple cases of blasters, and as soon as we put them on the shelves, you know, guys were coming in and wanting to buy, you know, 10 boxes. You know, one guy wants to buy them all. We're like, no. You know, it was the weekend of our show, so we limited it to two per customer. And so a customer, father and son, we had three boxes left on the shelf, and they buy, you know, the two boxes. Now there's one box left on the shelf, and I looked at that box and I was like, man, one box left, I should buy that box. Usually I do, but I was like, you know what, it's for the customers, I'm gonna leave it for. There's another father and son come up. They're like, we'll take that last box. And the kid goes over to our table and he opens it up. And yes, hits the downtown Anthony Richardson. It was killer.
That's awesome. That's a crazy story. That's awesome that he opened it in shop too. That's cool.
Yep. Yeah, we have it on our Instagram and Facebook. We posted it, you know, them holding the card and a close-up shot of the card. So, yeah, it was fun.
I've always thought about this idea for card shop owners that, like, you could, like, you have an area over there where you can turn on the camera and there's a breaking mat there with, like, your logo on it or something. And you offer customers, hey, we'll pay your sales tax if you open it up on camera, like something cool like that. So if any card, a huge card gets hit, you have it and, you know, on camera, it's good promotion for you, you know, and things like that. Yeah. I always thought that something like that would be cool, like an incentive for them to open up in store.
Yeah, we have some plans to do some things. We definitely want to ramp up our, our TikTok and our online live sales. So we have some plans in the making. So we have some ideas. So stay tuned.
Have you thought about you guys getting into the breaking or anything like that, or just eBay store or whatever, or just taking it slow right now?
I mean, no, we do. I mean, we do have an eBay store and all that, and we do live breaks on show weekend. But you know, it's a lot to take in when you're opening up a store. So we're gonna get there. It's just you know,
plus you probably gotta hire people too and things like that, right? I mean, just
yep.
So yeah. So how's it been going so far, though? I mean, how long have you guys been open now, and how's it been going?
So we've been open since October. I don't know, it's 7 months or something, yeah. 7, 8. It's been going good, up and to the right every month. We're definitely further along than we anticipated. So, yeah.
Is it still fun? Like, because now it's business too, you know, it's not just collecting and picking up cool cards for your PC.
Right. So I used to ask that same question to guys who like did it for like a living. I'm like, is it still fun? You know? And guys would always say, yeah, it's still fun. And it is still fun, you know, but, it is still fun. Yeah.
Good. That's probably kind of one of the big reasons you decide to do it too, because, hey, this is fun. I want to have fun all the time, the whole time. Right.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. When the three of us, we got together, it was, hey man, we're doing this hobby every day, all day. We might as well do it and try to build something special, you know? So we were just like, we're going to go for it.
So that's awesome. That's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. That's the_collectors_arena on Instagram. They're on Facebook. Check out LB's Instagram page as well on _point_collecting, right?
Yep.
Got some big cards on there. The shows, they have them usually every month, guys. 3-day weekends, card shows, trade nights usually the Friday. Go to their Facebook, Instagram, check out, give the store a call if you want to check out any details on that. And even if you want to be a vendor too, right? You guys are always open to more vendors.
Yes. Yep. And actually we encourage it, you know, every month, having new vendors, you know, to keep the show fresh, you know. We've heard that from other customers of ours when they come to our show. They're like, you know why we like coming to your show? It's because there's always like new people each month at your guys' show. So if you are interested in being a vendor, you can call up to the shop and request a table. You could DM us on Instagram or Facebook, and
Maybe one day I'll set up LB. Who knows, man? I don't know if I can do the whole weekend, but maybe one day get the kids, the family, and the job. So,
oh man, I hear you, brother.
All right, man. Well, like I said, I appreciate you coming on. And guys, give me a follow too at Kang Collects on Instagram, Kang Collects on Facebook, YouTube as well, KHANG Collects. And as always, guys, I appreciate you listening and keep collecting.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.